When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, welcome to Hello. This new kind of podcast we're doing today called Your Mom is a Check-In, which is really just me and one of my dearest buddies, Sandeep Parikh. I'm Alana Weintraub.
Me?
You are. I mean, that's the whole reason I wanted to do this. A podcast is really just to have more reason to hang out with you. So this is our moment.
Yes.
The only way two adult parents can hang out.
That's right.
Is
to make a podcast together.
Structured and it's in both of our calendars.
That's right.
Everybody has agreed on this and you cannot back out no matter what.
We tell our significant others, it's work. It's work. Okay.
It's work. I have to hang out with my friend.
Yeah, exactly. So if you are a first-time listener to this, our regular episodes are sort of our mothership episodes, or Is Your Mom is a Podcast. That is where we get a really cool guest, someone that we just admire. You know, they could be an author, they could be an actor, they could be a scientist, they could just be anyone who we think, wow, they are so incredible. If our kid turns out like that, man, we would have succeeded as parents. And we go, hey, I wonder how you got that way. So we do a pre-interview with their mother often, or their father, or someone who was parental into their lives. And then we compare and contrast answers. We ask them the same questions we ask their parents and sort of do a newlywed style game to determine, you know, just how they got, how cool they are. And so that's our normal show, but this is going to be sort of a reflection on the previous episode. And so we're going to be talking about the Jordan Black episode for this Your Mom is a Check-In. So we're going to do a very special episode. We're thinking we're going to do this more often. It's really going to be called Your Mom is a Check-In. And we're just going to check in with each other after our episode.
Your podcast host voice is a little bit like you're talking to a child voice. It's a little bit of like, okay, so this is what we're going to do today. We're going to put on our clothes and then we're going to put on our swimmies and then we're going to jump in the pool.
I wonder if my son just thinks he's on a podcast his whole life.
It's going to be very nostalgic for him when he's older to listen back.
He is like, doing thing, Moana. He's doing this thing where because he knows I record podcasts. So he'll be like drawing, but he'll be like, I'm doing a podcast. It's really cute. Just wants to do what daddy's doing. And I'm like, that's not a podcast. Okay. You're not even plugged in. There's no microphone. And I just shatter his dreams.
Just
in that
kill
moment.
His imagination yeah, now. Absolutely. Why wait? Why wait for the industry to do it?
Yeah. So, hey, I'm Sandeep Parikh.
I'm Alana Weintraub.
And we are hosts of Your Mom is a Podcast. This is going to be Your Mom is a Check-In. Now I'm self-conscious about how I'm doing this.
Well, because you know what's so special about the Jordan Black episode? I think so many things are so special about it. But one of the things is it's a rare time that you and I were in the same room during the interview.
True.
And truth. I think it makes all the difference because the whole conversation just becomes more magical and more authentic.
And there's less lag.
So and also lag.
That's a thing. No, I get it. But I do think it was a really great episode for a lot of reasons. I mean, Jordan is amazing. His mom is amazing. I feel like I learned so many lessons. It was also one of our first episodes we did together. So there was like a new podcast smell to the whole thing, which I think was lovely.
It's disgusting. I don't know what a new podcast smells like, but I'm like imagining like the smell of like afterbirth. It's like, it's not good.
It's not
like leather. It's not a new car smell.
A new microphone. Afterbirth. Good Lord. So, I mean, a couple of things stuck out to me about this podcast, this episode. First of all, the thing we started on, which was the whole thumb sucking thing, I thought was really interesting. So my kiddo does not thumb suck. I don't think that I ever did. I was sort of curious if you ever did, or your sister, or does your kiddo?
I didn't, but my son did use a pacifier for a while, and then we had.
Did you have trouble?
No,
weaning him?
It was
no.
No, I was terrified of it for years. Mm. I was like, well, this is amazing now, but it's going to be real hell one day. It's really going to be hell. And then actually my friends Pete and Val kind of walked me through what they did, and they had a pacifier fairy.
And what happened? The fairy die or something? Like, sorry.
And so the fairy sacrificed herself. And so it's great. You get to remove the pacifier and teach about life, death, and the afterlife.
Right.
One convenient 3-year-old lesson. No. So what it was is we told my son that the pacifier fairy is coming. We called the pacifier the Susu. Mm-hmm. And the Susu fairy is coming. And we're going to take all the Susus, and we had like 17 of them at that point, and we put them all in a box, and we decorated it, and we wrote the Susu fairy a note, and we're going to leave it under a tree in our backyard, and you're going to go take a nap, and this is going to be his first nap ever without a pacifier.
Yeah.
So we were already really nervous about that, but he was good and tired, passed out, no problem, and was actually really excited for what would happen. And we told him that the Susu fairy is going to leave him a Buzz Lightyear.
So you Santa Claus'd it. You Santa Claus'd
the whole thing. Totally Santa Claus. Well, yeah, like tooth fairied it. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And
basically you lied. You lied to your child.
And so he went to sleep like so excited to get a Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
And woke up. First words were like, did the Susu fairy come? Is there a Buzz Lightyear outside?
It's impressive that he remembered, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He will go to sleep at night talking about, he will wake up in the morning talking about what we talked about at night.
Yeah. Like, and, just, like as if you just like press pause the whole time. And he's just like mid-sentence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally. And so he woke up talking about it. We went in the backyard. He got a note from the Susu fairy.
Yeah.
And we read him that note, and then we gave him the toy. And it
never looked
back.
I
think maybe one time when he was sick, he like asked for it. But what did happen ultimately is that naps became a lot harder.
Yeah.
Like that was always his cue to be tired. Or if he was crying in the car seat or something and we can pass him a pacifier.
Suck on this Buzz Lightyear. Like what
you Yeah. Suck on this note that the fairy left you. So, well, his nap schedule changed. It was like about the time that he was going to probably be ready to drop a nap. And he still does nap here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fine. He never asks for it. He understands that it's a thing for babies, and he's a 3-year-old
now. Just gotta bribe him sometimes.
It was a trade, I would say. It was a fair trade.
I wonder if, a couple years from now, he's gonna be like, there's no such thing as a Susu fair. You lied to me, mother. You lied. Where are my passies?
I mean, there's no such thing as dragons. And we talk about stories of dragons, and there's no such thing as.
But do you tell him that there's no dragons? Are you like, no, there's dragons?
We tell him that there's no such thing as dragons.
Yeah, like, does he ever? I don't know. Is he at the age? Like, my son is at the age, and he's been at this age for a while, but he's very much into like what's real and not real. Like, he wants to know. He really wants to know. And he'll really kind of spell it out. Like, okay, so this is real. This is just in stories. Like, he's really kind of parsing that out, which is. And we just have taken the stance of just telling him the truth, just straight up.
Yeah, I think I would do that.
So just like, he's like, Santa Claus real? And we're like, no, not real. But if he, if you want to believe in him, you can.
Yeah, but it's pretend. And I think we kids follow a lot of pretend things.
It's controversial, though.
I know. It's really controversial.
People will be mad at me. We're going to lose followers from me saying that, I think.
You saying you don't give your son the gift of Santa Claus?
Yeah. Yeah, it was tough. Yeah. It was a tough thing for me because I got it and I was fine with it and I thought it was fine. But like, my
Santa
wife
Claus
felt,
growing up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Indian Santa Claus.
Which is what?
Just Santa Claus. He's just, I don't know, cheaper. I don't know. He leaves fewer gifts.
He just leaves you that puffed rice that your mom makes.
Yeah, pretty much. You just gotta love it.
Did you got gifts and you got like you woke up in the morning? Did you guys do Christmas morning?
That was definitely a way in which we assimilated big time. Was doing the whole Christmas ritual. I think because that's the time we all had off together, right? Like, and that's the big thing about holidays in schools and like why they really matter and how they like indoctrinate. Like children and families into sort of into a norm that like, and so why it's important and why I always thought it was like, oh, that's cool that the Jewish people get their holidays. Like, how come we don't get like Indian holidays, you know? And
why do you think it's good or important? Because you were saying like everyone's off at the same time.
I don't know if it's good or important. I'm just saying I'm not necessarily value judging it at all. Actually, I was kind of saying that like maybe it's not that good, but it sort of not forced us, but we were like, hey, let's, you know, as kids, we wanted to celebrate the things that everybody else was doing. And if we're all going to take this time off, like you wanted to do what your friends were doing. And not be sort of left out, wanted to be normalized in that way. So I think my parents were just like, cool, let's do it. Let's buy a fake tree because that's cheaper than a real one and less dirty and just roll with it. And they did. It also makes more sense because it comes from my wife's traditions, like in a more sincere way than it does with ours. But, you know, it is our tradition too.
Assimilation is sincere. We were sincerely trying.
Listen, I dug Santa Claus. I really dug Santa Claus.
Yeah. We had a tree, but it had Jewish presents. We were Jews that had a tree.
Well, people do that. People they have the blue and white Jewish tree. I've seen those.
Yeah, no, we didn't do that. We had a tree on New Year's Eve, which makes even less sense. And we would exchange presents then because that's what they did in the Soviet Union because there was no religion, but you were allowed to celebrate New Year's, and so that's when everyone did the gifts.
Oh.
And so we kept that up. But it's all random. I don't know because I've never been a Christian person in Russia.
Yeah.
But I know my Jewish family in Russia didn't do Christmas. They did New Year's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So it's I always knew that Santa was Hey, heads up. Don't listen to this episode with your kids in the car.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oops. Probably should say that ahead
of
time.
I always knew that Santa was... So I did have... I've had recently, since marrying my husband, very American Christmas experiences with his sister and their family.
Yeah.
And they really do Christmas. Like, the kids... maybe are now older and they have figured out that Santa isn't real, but they still do the pretend and they still do it as a ritual. And I really, I have a lot of mixed feelings about it, kind of like you, where I'm a little bit like, but your mom and dad got you those. Yeah. Like, say thank really hard you to your mom and dad who paid for them. Why are we giving credit to an old white man for this?
Yeah.
And actually, like, I feel like the holidays are a time to practice more authenticity and more gratitude. But the imagination world, I think, is what people are really excited to present to their kids.
Which, by the way, we have tons of imaginative moments all the time through storytelling all the time that we love. And so, but it doesn't see, I never experienced that thing growing up where some people were just like absolutely shattered by the idea that Santa Claus didn't exist. I think I sort of like caught on to it early. And then I enjoyed sort of as a kid, like knowing that I knew and then playing out that I didn't know so that I could still make my family feel like they were giving me magic. And there was like magic in that a little bit. But I think for our little dude, like he's choosing to believe, like right now he's like, I believe and I want to believe. And we're like, great. That's great. If you want to believe, that's totally cool. But if you're going to ask us straight up whether or not we know this or don't know this, here's what we're going to say. And we have said that. And we're like, but our ask is whether or not you believe, don't yuck anybody else's yum, you know?
Yeah.
Keep it on the DL, keep it within yourself, you know? Cause I don't want him going around and being like, no, he's not. And like just shattering these other children.
Yeah, no. So that's teach him to keep secrets young. That's useful.
What secrets? That's secrets.
That's different.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle, available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
I did read something before I had children that I thought was really magical. that I was like, oh, when I have a kid, if we do the Santa Claus thing, I will do this. And the story was basically when your kid is of a certain age, maybe they're, I don't know, somewhere between 7 and 11, mm-hmm. you take them out for a very adult date. Like you take them to get a cup of coffee or a hot chocolate, you know, like you treat it seriously. And you say, hey, I have to have a really important conversation with you. I want to let you know that you are now Santa Claus.
Oh my gosh. Wait, did I tell you this?
No. Did you tell me this? No, you definitely didn't because I remember reading it years ago.
Oh, wow. Crazy.
My did friend you read Bonnie, the same thing?
No, my friend Bonnie Gordon at a convention just gave me this whole you are now the Santa Claus thing and I love this. Go ahead. Keep going. Keep going. This
is
great. Well,
just to say that like Santa Claus is a theory and I have been Santa Claus for you.
Yes.
And you get to be Santa Claus for somebody else.
Yes,
and
like
what Santa Claus means, and you can, you know, redefine this however it works in your family, is Santa Claus picks people who are deserving of presents and secretly gives it to them.
Needs a
and
lift.
So
yeah,
this
right.
year you get to decide who is deserving of presents in your eye, who has earned presents, and
right.
you get to secretly give it to them from Santa Claus.
And I think that's the big part, right? Is that it is secret so that you don't take credit for it, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So that it's really just about how good it feels to give
right.
and not get anything in return.
I love that. So I was like, oh, if we ever get to that point, or if he's truly really believing in a couple of years, and then we can have that conversation. I love that. I'm stealing that. Fantastic. Okay, back to the Jordan episode.
Yeah.
Here's a part that I really liked. His mom, when he mentioned at one point that his mom's belief in himself
mm-hmm.
superseded all other voices of doubt.
Mm.
And I love the way he said it. He said it kind of off the cuff. He's like, well, the smartest person I know already said she believes in me, so who cares what you think? Like, why does your opinion matter? And I just like was like, damn, that really like, I think that before I had kids, that wouldn't have hit me so hard. But now I'm like, oh, wow, this is like your belief in your child is so powerful. It's so like subconsciously baked in there. It's made me reflect a lot on how in this past week after revisiting the episode on how I like interface with my little dude. And just making sure that I regardless of what he the other day, he's for the first time was like critical of his own art that he was making.
Mm.
He like was drawing these rainbows and he was like, and we're like, oh, we love this. We want to put this up on the wall. And he's like, don't put it up on the wall. I don't want it to go on the wall. And we're like, okay, why not? He's like, it's not good. It's not good. Mm. I want to do it again. I want to do it right now. And I want he was also like kind of under-resourced and tired. It was like the end of the day, didn't nap kind of thing. So I'm sure some of that was feeding into it. But like, it was just really, I was like, oh, whoa. Like he's super critical of this thing he made, you know, and he'd be like, you know, well, listen, if you don't like it, you don't have to like it. Just know that whatever you produce, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I think this is awesome. Like, can I keep it? Can I have this? And he was like, he like calmed him down a little bit, but then he was like, no, no, you cannot.
Like, he's really, you can keep it if you have no taste.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. He's like, I'm still making another one. And I was like, okay, all right. Sounds good. Sounds good. But it was just like, you know, an interesting moment where like you can be a critic or you can be a believer. And I don't know, there's just, yeah, a lot of power in your words.
Yes, well, you said it in the episode too, where words are spells.
Right.
And I think that's true. And one of the kind of theories that I am, one of the theories we're testing in this podcast is, did you become amazing because of the person that raised you? And I think the answer is, yes, and also there are a lot of other factors that made me the way I am. And I think that your parents could say you're really good at something and they can say you're really bad at something and you'll believe it. One of the things that I have noticed in seeing other people parent is that if you tell a kid they suck at something, they won't say, how dare you say that? They won't judge you for saying that.
They'll just
believe it.
Yeah.
I've even noticed that with some of my friends that don't have kids and they'll like practice sarcasm with my kid. They'll be like, you can't catch me, or like, you know, or like, you're not fast enough,
right,
or something like that. And then I'll be like, oh, he doesn't know that you're kidding.
Yeah.
He just thinks he's now not fast enough.
Yeah. I remember the moment where that kind of flips, actually, which is kind of interesting. Go ahead.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where like they take on that challenge.
They take on the challenge.
They understand the sarcasm.
Right. Yeah. And they're like, That's cool. I can. Here I go. But yeah, there is a moment before or some time before that. They're just like, oh, okay, yeah, I can't catch you.
I guess I can.
I'll never amount to anything. Okay, great.
But I've thought about this actually a lot of like, what is the thing that your parents told you about yourself that has become defining in who you are? For example, I remember my mom telling me, and this is in like second grade, when I was doing a really competitive form of gymnastics and I was like, you know, doing all of this like kids theater and I was going to a really academically challenging school for some reason in second grade, which was just more stressful than anything. And I was worried about not being able to do my homework. And my mom was like, you work really well under pressure. She's like, I know you have like a test or a quiz tomorrow, but don't worry. You work really well under pressure. And I believed her and I still believe her. Like I am not afraid to take on a lot. And I know that I could handle it because when I was like eight, my mom instilled that in me. And I was talking to my friend, our friend, Stevie Nelson, and she was kind of, I asked her that question and she said that her dad told her at a really young age that she's got a great eye, that she's got like, you know, she's got an artistic visual eye. He's always said, you've got a great eye. And she's really taken that to be a part of her identity. She's a photographer and an artist. And
it's interesting because I wonder how much of that is like those things resonate with you. I wonder how many other things they complimented you on that didn't absorb necessarily that same way.
Like, I wonder if that
was like the thing that you just needed to hear in that moment or what. But yeah.
Do you remember anything like that that your parents might have said?
I got a couple. I got one positive, one negative.
I got negatives up the wahoo, but keep going.
So, I guess. Well, one negative that always stuck with me was that my dad at one point mentioned, and I don't even think he meant to be negative about this. I think he was more just impressed with himself for remembering the phrase and wanted to use it. But it was, I don't totally remember
how
the context,
you say
but at
it
some
in
point.
English, I'm going to have to do it with Russian accent. You're a piece of, is that right? Oh, I did it.
Garbage boy, the boy of garbage. Anyway, he just goes, oh, you're a jack of all trades and master of none. And it was probably doing multiple things or whatever it is, or wanting to do something artistic. Probably was something around wanting to do something artistic. Be like, oh, careful, don't want to become the jack of all trades and master of none. Then later in life, much later in life, like literally maybe 2 years ago, finding out that there's more to that quote. Did you know this, Alana?
No.
There's more to that quote. And the more to that quote actually subverts the entire meaning of that quote. And so like, it's supposed to be this thing where like, jack of all, be careful, you're going to spread yourself too thin. You're not going to be an expert at anything. But actually the full quote is, a jack of all trades is a master of none, but oftentimes better than a master of one. So actually what it's trying to say is, no, it is good to be well-rounded. It is good to have a whole bunch of various skill sets rather than obsessing. Because I, for the longest time, would always beat myself up over not being so obviously great at one thing that I knew what my career path should exactly be, right? I was like, oh man, I wish I was this savant, you know? I wish I was all these, you name it, successful director, successful actor, successful whatever, you know, or person that just clearly like, that's what they just were so good at math or whatever that they became, that they are Alan Turing and they invented the computer. Like they just, they knew what they needed to do because that's what they were so good at. I was always so jealous of that. And that always ring out in my head, jack of all trades, jack of all trades. And so then later kind of realizing the full quote of it was always, has been somewhat of a redemption, maybe not a full redemption, but somewhat. And I gleefully threw that back at my dad's face, to which he just giggled and was like, oh yeah. Like he just didn't have any sense of what, like the impact that it had on me at all.
How cute that I traumatized you.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. He just didn't care. The other one I'll say I wrote just very quickly was for my brother. He would constantly say to me, you are a leader.
Yes.
Over and over again. You're a leader. You're the leader of your friends. You're the leader of your friend group. You're the leader of this temple group. You're the, yeah. Well, everybody's going to come to you because you're the leader of this. Like, you just say it till I just always believed it.
Have you noticed him be that way in his parenting?
Yes. To his kids?
Yes.
Oh yeah, totally. I don't think it worked as well.
Well, he was probably more influential to you than, you know, that was, yesterday was my anniversary with my husband and we went to dinner and we're always having
anniversary. That's exciting.
It's very exciting. So we were sitting between two couples. We're always having the conversation of, do we need another child? Mm-hmm. And we, like, by fate sat between two tables of parents and one son.
Yeah.
And they were like different ages. One was like maybe like 17, 18. The other one was maybe like 24, 25. And I'm already like always accidentally just in my ADHD eavesdropping on other people's conversations around me. But I was really, really noticing it. And one of the things that my husband pointed out that we noticed about the people next to us is how much engagement there was between the kid and the parent. And it really, you kind of have to be, you really have to show up for your kid if you're the only other person at the table for them, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
Otherwise, of course, they could be lonely or bored or whatever. You really have to be engaging with them at all ages, like you would with anybody you're having dinner with.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And one of the things that my husband said is like, it feels like if there was another kid here, that sibling might be closer to the kid, to the other, that the siblings might be closer to each other than they are to the parents, which is also a gift you give your children, is that relationship. And that I'm sure was true for you guys at home where you were just, you know, your brothers also, because they were significantly older than you, really did a lot of the raising and you looked up to them.
Oh, totally.
Maybe more than your parents.
Oh, 100%. That is 100% true. They were 10 and 12 years older, so I would always be like, yeah, they like, and they knew more about American culture than my parents did, right? So they were an easier conduit to fitting in and being cool and being liked than my parents, who like wanted me to memorize like, you know, 144 stanzas of a Sanskrit poem.
Which you have talked about as being the thing that kind of was your pathway to becoming an entertainer.
Yes, it had other benefits, for sure. Just going through the whole wanting a second kid thing. There's some chatter now in our house about it as well.
Wow.
We always kind of go back
exciting.
And forth. Oh, so exciting. and so harrowing at the same time. But it's interesting how the universe... again, sort of presents these things to you in support or like for or against. But then I always wonder like, oh, am I more perceptive to this because I am like subconsciously in support of this or against it, you know, versus like, is it actually a sign? So one of those was my, you know, because so if we decided to have a second kid, there'd be a six year age gap. And my wife was like, I just had an amazing conversation with this woman at the playground and they have a 6 year age gap. And it was like, she's like, it was the best thing ever. You know, she like sputs off like how perfect the 6 year age gap was. And I was like, that is so funny. And then like listening to the Jordan podcast while us talking about it, while he's got this like, you know, absolute just,
his kids are neck and neck.
Just like this, I don't know what to say, like just like a cornucopia of children all around the same age. And he's just like doing his thing. And he's so at ease in it. It sounds like, I know it's a podcast interview, so you're going to sound at ease, but I think he really, it just sounds authentically like he's dialed into this, like being a parent and an entertainer and, you know, a guy who has a writing career. And is able to set it somehow. I wonder how he's doing now. I would love to follow up with him on all that because of all the stuff that the industry is going through. But like, that's always what my brain goes when we're talking about having more kids. It's like, man, this is, I already feel like the sponge has absorbed everything it possibly could. Like really, we can actually absorb more. And this may be, stay tuned, listeners, to find out how that shakes out.
Yeah. I was having a similar conversation in terms of like the sponge yesterday with my husband and some friends of like, it's actually, it's not so much that we're out of time. It's almost that we're out of attention. Mm. Like we are giving our attention to everything we could possibly give our, do we have any more attention to give? Mm-hmm. And I think part of maybe what happens is that some kids learn to share attention, which is a real quality.
It's a real gift. Yeah. Or a skill. Yeah.
Yes. And also the reality of like the first few years of having a kid, which is that other things don't get attention. Your relationship doesn't get attention. Your friendships get a lot less attention. Possibly mm-hmm. your career doesn't get as much attention. Mm-hmm. And that's the conversation for us is like, do we want to go through that again?
That again. Now, oh, 100%.
It feels a little bit like we're coming out of it and able to at least say like, hey, we really miss our friends. We really want to be prioritizing that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, and I think the other part of it is like, there's no right or wrong. There's going to be bonuses and there's going to be pros and cons to everything. To literally everything.
Of course. Right. And it's going to be one of those things where if you have the second child, you'll be like, I can't imagine a world in which we didn't.
I did that the kind right of thing. Although I have talked to a few honest parents who are like, stop now. Stop. It's okay.
Stop it.
You
stop
don't
it.
Need to do it. Traveling is easier. Life is cheaper. I know. It's okay.
I know. But then aren't you like sort of reflecting? You're like, but yeah, but that's your
Uh-oh.
Yes. But you know what? I thought that about every parent before I had a parent. Anytime somebody complained, I mean, before I was a parent, anytime somebody complained to me about their kids, I was like, that must be your, because that's not how I'm going to be when I'm a parent. And then I had a kid and I was like, oh, this is impossibly hard.
Right.
This is everyone who told me this was hard was underselling it.
Yeah. I mentioned this to Anna and my business partner, Evan Funny, and he was like, because I was like, I'm kind of freaking out. And he was like, take deep breath. He's like, people do it, man. I got two kids. Like we mm-hmm. like there's like many, many people, a lot, almost most people mm-hmm. like have done this. Like, you know, so just take heart in that fact that like people do manage it and figure it out and you will too, kind of a thing. I don't know. Again, stay tuned, friends. Stay tuned. All right. Well,
anything else from the podcast that really stuck with you?
Yeah, this last little couple thing. One, I'll just go through these quickly. One thing you said that I loved, which is the words we say to our children becomes how they talk to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, that's a good bit of wisdom right there. I didn't just just a good way to contextualize that.
Yeah, I was talking to my sister about this. I mean, I talked to my sister about this a lot. We both, I mean, so many probably women especially, have body image issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the words that I say to myself about my body are the exact words that my parents said to me. They did their best. God bless them. They didn't really know how to, you know, they thought that me being thinner or fitter or having better posture, all these things would result in me being happier.
Yeah.
And that was always their intention. But when I am mean to my body, I am saying the words that my mom said to me as a kid when I was like.
Is it your mother's voice in your head, you think?
I don't hear my mom's voice. Yeah. It is actually like if we're going to do internal family systems about it, it is like almost a whole other creature in there who's like.
Yeah.
Stuck in that belly. Like it's a whole, it's a guy. It's like a male. It's
like
weird.
It's like a sergeant.
he's like an old sad man. His name's Craig. It's just like, I did do some internal family systems work once, and it's this really interesting style of therapy where you look at the voices in your head and you give them personalities and you actually try to figure out what
name them and stuff.
Their benevolent purpose is.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And this like guy that like body shames me, but also wants me to like eat garbage is, you really like do the digging on like, what does this guy actually want? What's this about? Like, if I like have a conversation with him, he's like, maybe if you get like really fat and sick, you will take a break. Maybe you'll have to take a break. Maybe you'll have to slow down and pause and relax. Because otherwise, there's no way. I was just telling you how great I am under pressure as like a point of pride. I keep putting pressure on myself because it's like part of my identity. But maybe if I, this is this other part of me that really wants me to just like get sick so that I slow down.
Man, okay, I got to have a conversation with Ricardo. That's my guy.
Does he ever say you're too cute? Does he ever say anything about how cute?
No, he never says I'm too cute.
What?
No.
Has he seen you?
Yeah, jerk. Okay, I'm going to have a conversation with him. All right, well, that wraps it up for Your Mom as a Check-In. Thanks for checking in on that. And check out our regular episodes out next week.
Your Mom is a Podcast. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Your Mom is a Podcast is hosted by Milana Weintraub and Sandeep Parikh. It is executive produced by Milana Weintraub, Sandeep Parikh, and Stephen Hine. Editing and sound design is by Sean Marr. Music by Matt Friedman. This podcast comes from Effin' Funny Productions and Story Mill Media. Be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram and TikTok at Your Mom is a Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.